clearly did not intend for this lesson to be this long, but.
Good.
Death laid plans of mice and men. Romans chapter 12. Verse 3, we have been looking at preachers from the text to be a pastor. Hopefully some of the things that you will endure, something you need to be prepared for. It really has been geared towards the preachers. Brother Reagan gets to be on the hot seat tonight. Brother Crafter gave a special blast just so Brother Reagan will feel the pressure.
It was worse earlier.
Huh?
It was worse earlier.
Now it's not so bad. Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Who would like to read it? So Brother Reagan, right again.
For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Okay, so we go to 1 John chapter 1, just an admonishment, a realization, kind of piggybacking on Brother Dale dealing with Peter. Was Peter a good servant for the Lord?
No.
Yes, he was. How many times do you see Peter mess up? If you in this room, you think that you are going to be perfect and never make any mistake with the Lord, how's that going to go for you?
No.
Dreamland. No. What's that?
Dreamland.
Dreamland! Good luck! Because I guarantee you, if you are of the human persuasion, what is going to happen to you?
Whosoever humbles himself or exalts himself shall be humbled.
Not wise. I think soberly. And so some of the subjects hopefully we will cover, and we need to pay attention to this. 1 John chapter 1, something especially to pastors, but everybody. We'll just go ahead and read verse 5 down through 10. Who's got 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 10? Hopefully we are familiar with it, brother Christian. Go right ahead.
This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and it's not true. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. To the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say that we have not sinned, you make him a liar, and his word is not.
Okay, so I hope you have thought about and internalized, really understood verse 8. And covering verse 8, what's verse 8 saying?
Say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Okay, if you're sitting here and you think that you are not going to sin, or you don't have any sin, what does the Bible say about you?
Lying to yourself.
You are lying to yourself. And so the reality is, if you don't pay attention to that, you are unaware of your failings and how many times, another, I like to think of it as you better have an active, repentant life. Verse 9. What did verse 9 say? If we what?
Yes.
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Okay.
So, I don't know. If you're not repenting on a regular daily basis, what do you got?
No closer than God.
You don't know how to tell them. And the closer that you begin to understand and learn God, the more repentance I realize that it's something you better realize. Because over there in Romans chapter 12, you think yourself more highly than you ought to think. So you think, you know what? I'm going to cast me out. I'm going to be able to be a great pastor, and I'm never going to make any mistakes. How's that going to work for you? Good luck. Good luck. But Jacob, how many times have you messed up in the last almost 40 years?
Maybe three.
Well, let's get out.
Yeah. Wait, can you say today?
Probably more accurate. We need to have a sober understanding, reality. We are not God.
Nice.
We are not perfect. And the best thing we do is we need to learn to have the mind of Christ and help others to have that very same mind. Questions, comments on that? For the radio, yes, go ahead.
Hey, Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself with no reputation. So, who are you to try to make a reputation for yourself?
So many verses in the Bible that just... I'll just reiterate it. If you're out to make a name for yourself, you do not understand why. You got to be the guy, with the phrase I heard, preacher is never as big as when they're first hatched. Some of you may never have heard that. Boy, look at me. Creating a little crow, you ever seen those? Don't look to gain a name for yourself. Questions? Brother Reagan, your turn to be on the hot seat. I feel weird doing it because I don't think I have the right to do it, but you know what? I'm going to take the right. Take the authority. That's already important. But feel pretty hot for you?
Brother BJ was sitting on it. Let me check it out.
Brother Reagan, are you called Bridge?
Yes.
Sure. Do you know?
Well, spent a little bit of time running from it, and spending that time running from it and that conviction that really follows you, you have a real sense of, like, this is not something that God is going to let me off the hook. And so when I come to that realization, it was up at church camp 2 years ago, and I had never had a situation in my life like this before where, I got no sleep the night before, which is rare. For me, I usually sleep pretty well. Walked up to the trailer where my wife was staying, and I walked in, and I sat down, I was like, I have to do this. And so, I hate to break it to you, you're already along for the ride.
So if you're not followed,
what's
going to happen?
Oh, it's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
My life's going to be terrible.
And you hire
them. Yeah.
So what are you doing to prepare yourself?
So I'm working through. There's actually, I came across a list of some doctrines that I think maybe you prepared for your class in Albany years ago through some papers. And so I've started marking those and going through which doctrines I want to go through and learn so I can be able to teach them to the high school class. And so as I work through learning them, teach them to the high school class.
So what are you studying right now?
A couple different things. One of them was, I actually did a questionnaire for another search that went to them in California. So I was working through, and they had a series of different questions about what are the qualifications of the bishop and stuff like that. So I spent some time working through and studying those so I can answer those questions.
Good. I'm glad you went through qualifications because that's one of the things we're going to be looking for. So maybe you are prepared. We'll find out. First day, you have three. And you'll just read 1-4. You may want to read that? On another reading, if he wants to read it. Brother Christian, go right ahead. 1 Timothy. Chapter 3:1-4.
This is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. The bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apathy, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of good, but anxious, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all that.
Okay, so hopefully we are somewhat familiar with some of these verses. Brother Reagan, I wrote down three there that we're going to focus on.
Okay.
What do you mean to be vigilant?
Vigilant, I say, would be always watching or always working for the Lord. So having that be at the forefront of your mind, having that be your purpose, having that be the thing that you pursue. And number one overall is putting first, learning. Standing.
So what's sober?
Sober is clear-minded. Ambu in reference to alcohol, but it's a much bigger concept than that because it also talks about wine later on. It's about having a clear mind, seeing and understanding the truth, not being swayed by other doctrine, not being swayed by the ways that People may say, knowing how God views me instead of maybe how I view me or how others view me.
What does it mean to rule, will, your power?
Obviously, you start with, you know, there are homes that the kids kind of run the house or something like that. And so the children are in charge or I'm making my plan based on just everything that the kids want and or that's best for the kids instead of what God wants me to do, then I may not be in charge of my house.
So going back to this vigilant a little bit, how important is it to be vigilant?
That's super important.
Super important to be vigilant. We need to be watchful, weary, paying attention to.
Yeah.
And so I already apologized to your wife, but some of this is going to be about your wife.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll just tell you a little bit of something about your wife that you never told anybody else. So... It is.
We're one, so welcome to the hut.
You gotta be in the hot seat a little bit. So she was in my high school class.
Yeah.
When you knew that.
Yeah.
Going with Mary Vera.
No, I haven't.
I will tell you, Brother Reagan. And probably everybody else, but more. She was and is probably one of the smartest students I've ever had.
Yeah.
Wait, I was in your class.
What's the funny?
Man, I am. I'm living in Medford, then I challenge her.
Yeah.
But she was able to grasp things faster than guess from you. So vigilant, it's being watchful.
Yeah.
Watchful of human. And we're talking about vision.
The church. Church members.
Church members. Obviously, you're not a pastor right now.
No.
Hopefully, you're learning what it means to be vigilant. So tell me about your life.
What do you mean?
So... vigilant.
Yeah.
What are things that you are aware of about her?
Gotcha.
What are things you aware of specifically
and
towards the Lord?
Okay.
What are the positives or the negatives that can affect your ministry based on who she is?
Okay. Let's see. She really, she's a bit of a perfectionist. And so she wants to get things, you know, not just 75% of the way right or 80%, but she would like to be, you know, be 100% right. And I think that can be a positive or a negative, right? It drives her to work really hard, but it also means that sometimes that she just, you know, keeps going and going. And you have to get to a point because we aren't perfect where it has to be good enough, maybe. Let's see. You said positives and negatives?
No.
Okay. I think she's very, she loves our kids very much and wants the best for them. And so, if, you know, she wants to make sure that they're taken care of and everything with that. I know she loves me very much. And so if there's criticism of me, she doesn't usually enjoy that very much. And is resistant to something like that, which I appreciate. Maybe people who have a criticism or something of me wouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay. I know she wants to do God's will. I know she wants to be supportive of my ministry, and she's afraid of or doesn't want to be a hindrance.
Okay, so you're giving me a lot of good stuff here.
Uh-oh.
I feel like I should change things.
You're going to be a kind of pastor who has to come first.
Church. Or ministry.
Doctorate. You make a mention. So when you think about vigilant, So obviously right now I'm paying attention to your spouse. Hard to be vigilant, paying attention to what's going on in the world, going on in your family. You need to be aware of personalities. Obviously the one. When you talked about she's protective in your family. So you got a lot going.
Not everybody owns is a big fan of the pastor, especially if maybe they're in disagreement with that something that he's doing or something that he's teaching.
So we'll just read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. One of the verses that I pretty impactful. 1 Corinthians 12 and or 15 and 16. You want me to get that one? So 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm good at giving the wrong verse.
So I'm making sure I'm writing down right.
2 Corinthians chapter 12. And who'd like to read verse 15 and 16?
Read. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile.
Okay, so what does it mean to be spent? Gladly spend and be spent.
To allow myself to be used for God or on behalf of the church for God.
You're going to be attacked.
Yeah.
You're going to be looked down on. You're going to be, okay? Now, one of the other things I know about your wife, she's a little bit strong-headed. Did you know that?
Yes.
You don't get much of that.
You're cool.
Thank you. No. And when I say little, like, didn't really mean little. Very strong-headed. Is there a possible issue now?
If I allow her to run ahead of me or get in between what God needs to have done.
Sure. Okay. So, give your wife a point. Pastor's going to have to be out front, lead.
Yep.
But I'm leading. You're going to be the same there, which means people around you, loved ones, what are they going to say? What are they going to do? What are they going to walk for? So her, we already mentioned it here, shows she has a love for her kids. Come back. So what happens? When the kids get in the crossfire.
And have some mama bears or some daddy bears show up.
So I guess the question is, can you get them?
I think so.
When she has, here's the second part. You're also a lawyer for the league.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm also.
Wait a minute.
You know what?
Back then, recently became aware of.
Is can she be convincing?
Oh, yeah.
One of the reasons that brought it up. You're pretty darn smart.
Yep.
Has she ever tried to reveal you?
I don't think so. Well,
no, there's a
fat nails.
World.
I don't believe that this is the time or the place to be calling out individuals like this, the manner that you're doing.
Okay.
You guys, what? Brother Reagan's trying to be a pastor one day.
Yep.
She's going to be a pastor wife one day. This is on the internet. All these people are here. So if you have something that you need to say to them, you can pull them aside. You can talk to them. You can point some things out. But I don't understand what the point has been for the way that you've been running your class.
Okay. I wish you would have kept talking to me in person.
Well,
okay.
So you keep taking it each week, you take it a step farther. So now it's to a point where I'm going to say something.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll address it. Thank you. So, Phil, if you're going to very first one, so I'll tell you the thing that I'm most worried about every other day. I have seen and I am worried about churches.
Yep, me too.
I'm worried about church. And use this and run it up. This is the whole point, reason, and direction that I have gone with this. And I'll use the simple example. This is where this derives from. Okay, Church of Medford had two pastors.
I listen every crossing.
Two pastors. So, and those two pastors, what were they run by?
Yep. I have no disagreement with that.
Okay. So, why am I bringing it? Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not quite sure exactly what the disagreement is, but paying attention to and watch now.
Well, you're asking him to start laying out specifics of things that his wife might be wrong on.
Oh, I wasn't trying to be wrong on.
Lay out some good things and some bad things.
Okay.
So, you can teach a lesson on everything that you're bringing up. Teach a lesson on it. Teach. But I mean, the idea of the hot seat, I don't understand it. And maybe I'm alone in that, but I do not understand. And now calling out specifics of targeted individuals.
So I'll tell you what my thought process, what I've been trying to do. Fine. I have been trying to articulate and bring out what I see that is needful in a pastor.
I agree that.
So if you don't like the approach, okay. I don't. Because I don't see.
So what is everybody going to look for in Sister Caitlin from this point on?
Huh?
What is everybody going to be looking for in Sister Caitlin from this point on?
Is brilliant. I think
so. What is everybody going to be looking for? Everybody's going to be watching her now. Just is she manipulating Brother Reagan? Is she doing this to Brother Reagan?
That never even crossed my mind. I hope that's not what people's mind.
That's how you're addressing it tonight, right now.
So I guess I'm thrown back because I don't see it the same way you do. I would hope people don't judge her or think poorly of her. I hope not. I hope they realize these are things that they probably everybody has to be aware of.
I agree with that. So you can teach a lesson on it, and you don't. How many times this year has it already been? I'm not putting you, I'm not attacking you, but you are.
I am.
That's what has happened in these classes. That's what's happening tonight.
Attacking?
You might stand doing it calmly where you're doing it, but that's what's happened.
Well, apologize if that's how it came across. It was not intended. I want these men to be prepared.
I do too. So teach.
The absolute number one qualification is to know the doctrine and know the word of God. Personalities, tendencies, behaviors. Everybody has red flags. Everybody has things to work on. Everybody, those things could all be called into question, but what matters is that young preachers are indoctrinated. That's what matters. Because that's the hot seat, as far as the hot seat goes, or questioning or challenging. We've all been called out. Teach on this. We've all been challenged, and that can continue to happen. And it should always happen. That's completely fine. But I don't want to speak really big, but when he says teach, that's the doctrine. That's what's going to get a pastor or a pastor's wife or whomever when they are attacked and when the finger gets put in your chest, when you get excused for things. It's not that I've worked through these answers before. If I know what the doctrine is wrong. And so challenging on doctrine and challenging on teaching, that's where the emphasis needs to be, not on personal things,
and not on, well, this could come up in the future, but what are you going to do when somebody challenges you on this thing?
If we have fun with this thing?
Why do we need parity known every little specific argument that somebody might throw in their face because they believe this doctrine a certain way, when there's going to come a time where the church is going to, their home church is going to examine them, and if their home church has questions over their wife, or their home church has questions over the way they taught their Sunday school class on certain doctrines, the home church can do that.
So,
I don't know some of these men as good as the home church does. Some of them I would say maybe I do. I've been friends with them my whole life. But now, I don't want to speak for Brother Jake, but I see this. The doctrines are the absolute. There is no replacement for the doctrines that are brought out in the scripture. And when I say doctrine,
are you perceiving that I'm not bringing up top?
When we're sitting here talking about
what does it mean to be vigilant? All I'm trying to bring out is practical application of vigilance. It's obviously.
I'm saying that this. All the boring ones that we all know, like the back of our hand, until it's time for an ordination, and we don't care about scripture. That is what. The men need to know. That's what the young men need to know. That's what their wives need to know. And if you know the doctrines, you're going to be vigilant. If you know the doctrines, you're going to rule your house well. The Bible had a way of taking care of this thing. There's things for a local church to examine, and then there's things for elders and aged men to give in a setting like that.
My biggest thing is Sister Caitlin has to serve God with everyone in this room, as does Brother Reagan. Now, Brother Reagan, I haven't said anything to this point because I do believe that the preachers putting them on the spot is good sometimes. But asking a husband, a fellow church member, someone who's going to be her pastor one day, to list off the pros and cons of her service towards the Lord. Paul describes Titus in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 23, whether do any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, our brother, be inquired of, they are messengers of the church of the glory of Christ. When we are teaching, I call them out if they don't know the doctrine. Just put them on the spot.
So, apparently we have very different understandings of them. That's fine. Told you where I'm coming from. Try to explain where I'm coming from. I have seen great damage in church. I understand. You understand this. Okay. But so much of it has been because people have set the right doctrine for them. We talk about vigilant, but what does it mean to be? What's it mean to be vigilant? And to demonstrate vigilance on a regular basis, to examine yourself, to see those around you, to help those around you, and in the same manner, to have that. Still be vigilant, watching what's going on, be attacked, and still love them, and still show them, and still teach them, and still put the Lord first in His. Now, I'll be open with it. Idea. Perhaps my approach is wrong. Okay. I apologize if my approach was wrong. But I'm going to tell you that the reason I'm doing this is because I have lived through and I have seen. We are in a falling away. How many churches have fallen away? How many churches walk away from the dock? I don't know. Maybe it's okay. If I'm doing it wrong, sign up.
I just don't see where vigilance is. I just don't see where vigilance is you air out everything that you've been vigilant and seen.
Scandal.
I see a lot of things. I don't air them out in front of everybody.
Fair. If we don't learn how to be vigilant, if we don't teach preachers how to be vigilant, I think that's also a disservice. And just putting it out there, okay. May not like my approach, it's fine. I understand. I don't think that I'm doing anything. I don't think I'm attacking or... We'll just end it with that. Turn over to 2 Timothy. Some of the things that I have seen. Still instruct people that don't want to be instructed. Teach people that don't want to be taught. So, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Be fearful of the Lord, must not strive, but be gentle with all men. Apt to teach, patient. We're going to keep reading, but part of that is know what people's personality is, know what's going on, having the things. You are aware of what's going on and still teach and show and instruct out of love. Verse 25, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Okay, fair enough. My approach, not received well, fine. My point, whole point of this is simply trying to make you aware, not just saying the right words, not just putting out the right words, but knowing what it means. Yeah. And knowing what it means is sometimes hard. Because this is more than just words on paper. This is something that will affect your life, will affect your family, will cause hardships and pains. I'm sorry, but I don't think this is really that hard. I understand. I understand you see that way. Obviously, we're no longer going that direction. So if you have a hard time here, I worry about for the day.
God takes fear. Something that if you're not experiencing godly fear, spiritual fear, you know, definitely you guys look at your relationship with the Lord. Nobody, as far as I know, nobody asked me past. But there's a couple of things in here. Number one, biblically, you see Timothy and Titus being instructed to climb in at all. So you're already involved in the church. You're already involved in her outreach. You're involved in maintenance, Bible studies, home Bible studies. You're involved in evangelism personally. You got to be involved, and that's and it becomes your life. And if the Lord lays on you the desire to pastor, it probably begins with a little fear. Is that the scary thing to think? And the wisdom of the path of people, one of the two paths is feed the flock. And you know, to think about God places a pastor to lead and guide his flock to that ready. And that's got to be your main focus. And I correct me if I'm wrong, that's been my main focus. I've been put in a position to do the biblical things to cause the members of that body to be espoused to Christ for all of eternity. And again, the order of God, but he's not confusing every one of the brethren here, the pastor. They're driven to the words. They're driven to put on the word, to do the word, to teach the word, to be instant with the word. And then condition self to explain the word, teach the word. Don't give opinions and ideas. Just what does the Bible say about all these things? And that's really your foundation, is that this is a role God designed that his church would be married to him throughout all of eternity. That right there is a heavy burden.
Yeah.
But all the different things to teach him here, yeah, we need to teach him for sure. But I know that from my experience, I had a pastor right now because he was my pastor. And he would instruct me. There was plenty of times he admonished me because he was showing me what vigilant was. He saw things going on in my life, and he addressed them. So there's something to think. So, you know, I mean, I think all through we get challenged in seminary school. We should feel a little bit of pressure, a little bit, you know, performance-based pressure. Because, yeah, people are going to bat you. I love that happened there in 2 Corinthians 12. You know, the more that you love the church and love the work, it seems like people don't like you more. And that's just the reality of it. But I agree with you. I'm stressed out by the age of our young people today and how serious they take the Lord's work. And if they even understand the brevity of this, it's not a game. And it's not a joke. And it's not something to walk around with your head held up high. I'm a preacher. No, no, you're not. You're a member of the New Testament church, and God's asked you to do something for us. Do it. Better have your house in order. And you need to make sure that your family understands this is the most important thing God wants me to do. But he wouldn't have asked you to do it if you didn't already have your house in order, because that's what the Bible teaches. This vigilance, you got to know there's dangers inside and outside. We have that in Acts 20. Paul told them, from within and from without. Pastor's job is to make sure they see what's going on there and to teach and preach. But if anybody thinks this is a walk in the park and it's a fun little thing that we're doing, you're gonna be seriously hurt. But I beg of you all, just read the scripture. You, as a church member now, before you're a pastor, start doing the work. Start cutting out your overtime. Start cutting out all your hobbies. Start cutting out what you think you want to do in life. And jump into that church and do everything she does all the time and take your family with you.
And I hope that's the case. Pray that's the case. I'll just reiterate my fear. I've seen too many walk away. I've seen too many that led church astray. I've seen pastors that have walked away because of their wives. Some pastors that went through the ordination, answer all the right questions, and they lowered them. I know in the 80s, say it again, I had three pastors that were not with their soul. I didn't learn anything in the 80s. I didn't learn anything in the 80s. So there's where my fear is.
Yeah.
Guess what? They had ordination. They answered the right questions. They weren't doing it.
So my question is, it takes two, though, doesn't it? What's the condition of the church if they're having those other pastors, you know? So it's
right.
I mean, that's a dangerous game to go down. A pastor wouldn't call a church wouldn't call a pastor that wasn't worth his salt. Church was worth his salt because they would know.
Well, put it this way: preacher school is geared towards the preacher.
Yeah,
that's right. Parents, preachers, on what's page? And I take the fact that I'm ordained pastor of the Medford Church very seriously. When I say that I'm not going to ordain someone that I don't see as qualified, I'm not raising my hand. And maybe it's harsh. Maybe I'm rude. Maybe I'm calling things out where I shouldn't call things out. I know that I'm I don't hold animosity or have a hard time seeing people who they are, knowing very well that they are, they can very well serve the Lord. But we're not aware of it, we're not paying attention. It's apparently no methods. Fair enough. Go to vote.
I think there's a time and a place for certain things to be brought up.
Here with the papers in.
But I want to make it clear, because you made a comment about how this is car and you're worried. I want to make it clear. This should be hard. This should be as challenging as hell can get. It's no secret that I've probably ran that point into the ground. Talking about making people upset. Homework and being on time, and if you walk through that door late, Brother Dixon rips you up one side and down the other, and you're still licking your wounds 4 weeks later. Like, that's how it used to be. I think it should be hard. Not a question in my mind. But there's a time and a place for certain things. For certain
artifacts. Don't have to keep reiterating.
Well, you keep saying that I heard the rest of you. All right. So doctrines are doctrines. And they have to be examined. And I'll say this. When it gets tough, and all these men you keep referring to, guess what? They weren't indoctrinated. Okay, so get indoctrinated, it gets tough, you'll stand.
Yeah. Let's all stand.